Hi, welcome to episode 31 of On Jordan, a podcast on the latest developments in Jordanian politics, featuring interviews with experts from across the Hashemite Kingdom. My name is Aaron Maggett, a former Amman-based journalist, now in Washington. In 1997, an attempted Mossad assassination of Hamas operative Khaled Mashal in Amman led to increased attention on the Palestinian militant group's presence in Jordan. King Hussein was outraged at what he viewed as a violation of his country's sovereignty and demanded that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu provide the antidote that saved Mashal's life, along with the release from jail of Hamas founder Sheikh Ahmad Yassin. Yet 2 years later, after King Abdullah assumed power, he changed strategies and expelled the Hamas leadership from Jordan, including Mashal. In 2006, ties were further damaged by the Jordanian government's accusation that Hamas smuggled weapons from Syria into the Hashemite Kingdom and intended for terror attacks against Jordanian targets. But in 2012, there was another shift in Amman.
It's the first time Jordan's King Abdullah and the political leader of Hamas, Khaled Mashal, hold an official meeting. Mediated by Qatar's Crown Prince, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, the meeting marks a new beginning in relations between Jordan and Hamas.
However, a decade later, Jordan's relationship with Hamas has failed to blossom. For a deep dive on the topic, it's great to welcome Dr. Mohammed Abu Rahman to the podcast. Dr. Abu Rahman is a political science professor at the University of Jordan. He has written numerous books on Islamist movements and served as a Jordanian minister in 2018 and 2019. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Aaron.
So after signing the 1994 peace deal with Israel, why did King Hussein allow senior Hamas officials to continue working in Jordan?
Actually, King Hussein allowed Hamas leaders to stay in Jordan. Before that, there was like what we call it a gentleman agreement between the Jordanian authority and the leaders of Hamas. Most of them, they came from Kuwait, a political office of Hamas. Then when they came here to Jordan, King Hussein allowed to them to stay in Jordan. There was like gentleman agreement not to work in Jordan and to stay their work in Palestine. After the peace agreement, I think King Hussein was still want to have cards inside Palestinian territory, Palestinian players. And as you know, there was the game, struggle between him and Arafat. So King Hussein tried to use the card of Hamas to keep them here in Jordan, to keep the Jordanian cards in the relationship with Israel and in the relationship with Yasser Arafat.
So moving forward 5 years, when King Abdullah came to power, what was the motivation for him to change policies and expel the Hamas leadership from the Hashemite Kingdom?
I think, Aaron, the major reason it was the head of the GID at that time, Samih al-Battihi. As you know, he was a very strong man. King Abdullah was very new to the authority. So Samih al-Battihi, point of view against Hamas from the beginning. He didn't like the Islamists at all. His relationship with the Islamists was very bad. And he thought that it's better to kick out the leaders of Hamas out of Jordan because he didn't like that relationship, which established before he came to be the leader of the GID. But on the other hand, we can say that King Abdullah, from the beginning, he wanted to send a message that I'm not my father. And a historical struggle between King Hussein and Yasser Arafat has to be finished. He wants to focus in Jordan. And you can notice this from the beginning era of King Abdullah, when he focused in Jordan first, when he talked about the economy first, so that he wanted to finish this formula with the West Bank and with Yasser Arafat. So I think that this is one of the important reasons he no longer want to use the card of Hamas in this relationship. There was also another reason. It related to the situation inside the Brotherhood in Jordan. There was a new group inside the Brotherhood in Jordan. They called themselves the Al-Wasat group. They involved in a struggle with the leaders of Hamas because of the role of what we call it at that time, the organization shadow of Hamas inside the Brotherhood. There was a struggle in the Brotherhood itself, so that the GID, they thought that the Hamas, they break out the agreement between them and the Jordanian government not to work in Jordan and not to recruit it. Any Jordanian in the Brotherhood inside Hamas, but they discovered that Hamas established their own organization inside the Brotherhood.
For those unfamiliar, the GID stands for the General Intelligence Directorate, or Jordan's intelligence agency. Now, in 2006, Hamas emerged victorious from the Palestinian parliamentary elections. How did Amman respond to this development?
It was a very important moment. I think Jordan, at that time, there was, as you remember, that we have two axes in the Arabic or in the region, what they call the moderate axe and the resistance axe. The moderate axe or camp, including Jordan, Egypt, EAU, and the other on the other side, the camp of Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the others. So that if after the Iraqi, Iraq occupation 2003, the Iranian influence in the region, prestige, there was like a new paradigm toward the regional situation from Jordanian perspective, that there is an they have to contain the other camp in the region, which led by Iran. They considered Hamas a very important player in the other camp. So when Hamas won in the victory in Jordan, the situation was the Jordanian government, they are worried. I mean the officials, Jordanian officials, and they thought that it may be threatening the security in Jordan. Maybe it will open the desire of the Brotherhood in Jordan to make something like that. And then the situation turned against that. The conclusion in the Jordanian political kitchen is that to try not to give Hamas the opportunity, or the Brotherhood here in Jordan the opportunity, to make pressures on Jordanian internal situation. So Jordan stand against the victory of Hamas. And at that time, I remember that Mahmoud Al-Zahar, he used to be the foreign minister of the government which established between the Palestinian parties. Jordan refused to welcome him in Jordan. And on the same time, they declared that there is a cell of Hamas. It tried to make a terrorist attacks in Jordan. So that it was clear that Jordan was not welcoming the victory of Hamas and the role of Hamas after the election.
You noted how in 2006, the Jordanian government announced that it found Hamas weapons smuggled from Syria into Jordan. Can you please elaborate what happened here?
Look, it's more complicated. In Jordan, they knew that there are many activities to Hamas in Jordan. They try to cross the borders. They try to do some. Jordan is a very important geopolitic to the network of Hamas. It's normal that there are many people working with Hamas in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, in other places. So that it doesn't mean that what I want to say that they know before that there is an activity to Hamas in Jordan and crossing the borders. But the decision that they declared that there is a cell and try to go through like terrorist activities, I think they want to make more pressures on Hamas, and they want to build a trend inside the public Jordanian public opinion against the Hamas role in Jordan.
So you don't think this was a one-time incident in 2006, and you believe there were many other examples of Hamas smuggling weapons inside Jordan?
There are many activities to Hamas in Jordan, but it's selection process. When you decide to take some of these activities and to make them like an event, or to make like something against these activities. I remember, Aaron, at that time that Hamas also, they claimed that Jordanian authority played a role in assassination of one of their leaders in Damascus. So that the Jordanian authority claimed also that they captured Hamas cell, which tried to follow up the official intelligence officer to Jordan and try to kill him in Jordan. Who that they claim that he played that role in as against their man. So that it started like a struggle between Hamas and Jordan after 2006, and both of the parties started to claim that they working against other.
So you mentioned the tensions between Hamas and Jordan. Now in 2012, Hamas leader Khaled Mashal made a rare visit to Amman. So why did Jordanian authorities allow this visit?
A very important question, because the relationship between Jordanian authority, and especially when we talk about Jordanian authority, we talk here especially about the perception of the king, Abdullah. But the relationship between the Jordanian political kitchen and Hamas it's not like in a straight line, going up and down. Sometimes it's the relationship become calm, they open to each other, they try to talk with each other, and other time the situation became opposite. In 2012, the relationship between Hamas and Jordan become bitter, can play a role, a good role in convincing the Brotherhood in Jordan to participate in the election. And as you remember, at that time, there was like Arab Spring. The Brotherhood, they declared that they refuse to accept the membership in the committee which established by His Majesty. At that time, the National Dialogue Committee, and they put their demands. The king looked to their demands, dangerous demands, and they want to decrease the authority of the king, especially when they talk about nominating the prime minister. So that it was like that the king put the pressures on His Majesty and to take more advantages. So he tried to put the pressures on them by using Khalid Mish'al and Hamas. And I met Khalid Mish'al at that time, I remember, and he told me that yes, he had a message, and he himself, Khalid Mish'al, was angry from the Brotherhood at that time that they didn't listen to him when he tried to convince them to participate in the election. So yes, I think he used by His Majesty, but he failed in his mission.
Why would Khalid Mash'al want to pressure the Jordanian Muslim Brotherhood to participate in national elections if that seems to be different from a Palestinian issue?
A very important question, Aaron. Hamas and Khalid Mash'al, and I think also the Brotherhood in Egypt, they think that Jordan is a friendly regime to them historically. And they didn't, they think that the Brotherhood here in Jordan has to avoid the clash or struggle with the regime, has to accept like particular role to keep their relationship with the regime very good. They look to the regime as a better regime than the other regimes in the region. But on the other hand, the Brotherhood in Jordan, they have another vision. They want to expanding the role, they want to change the rule of the game, especially after the Arab Spring. They thought that it's the time that they can has the majority, establish the government. Why the Brotherhood succeeded in Egypt, in Tunisia, Morocco, and why in Jordan we still play in very, very small role. So at that time, they changed their strategy and they declared, for example, Zaki Ben Rashid, he was one of the leaders of the Brotherhood. He said that we has to move from the participation to partnership with the regime. And this, of course, make the king very worried about the intentions of the Brotherhood toward the regime.
Now, jumping to today in 2023, how much support does Hamas have among the Jordanian public?
I think a huge support. Why? Because, of course, Hamas still exists or represent to majority of Jordanians a resistance movement against Israel, the collapse of the peace process, the weakness of the Palestinian Authority, the discourse of Hamas, which depend on religious, historical symbols and motivating feeling of people, and a weak situation in economic, political situation in Jordan. All of these factors play side with the side of Hamas. So I think Hamas is still very strong in the Jordanian public opinion. And still many people believe that Hamas represents strong power which can defend the Palestinians and represent the Islamic power in the region.
And how would you describe the Jordanian government's current attitudes towards Hamas?
I think until now, this was a very important today, a debate inside Jordan, because many of the people inside the intellectuals in Jordanian intellectuals, they demanded that Jordan has to open the channels with Hamas and to have a dialogue, strategic dialogue with Hamas, to restore the relationship with Hamas. Why? Because the Palestinian Authority is very weak. Because of the right wing of the Israeli side, which today dominant the political game there, the collapse of peace process, all of these conditions pushing Jordanian political kitchen toward restore the relationship with Hamas, build a new strategic relationship with Hamas, and have an effective role inside the West Bank. Of course, this is the intellectual side, but the regime still think that they have to, there is no reason to have a relationship with Hamas. They refuse to open channels with Hamas or strategic dialogue. And they say that the Palestinian Authority, it's the side which representing the Palestinians, and we deal government with the government. And Jordan has no interest to have this strategic relationship with Hamas.
So just to clarify, there's a complete boycott between the Jordanian government and Hamas, and there's no communications or relationship whatsoever?
No, there is a communication, but it's a very small communication. It's in the back channels between the GID and the leaders of Hamas. You can meet with some of the leaders of Hamas here in Jordan in some social activities, but no political strategic relationship, just coordinating, just keep the doors open to each other, but nothing more than that.
And how would you describe the relationship today between Hamas and Jordan's Muslim Brotherhood?
It's very strong. It's still very strong in spite of that. Maybe you know that Hamas was a part of the Brotherhood in Jordan. Hamas, from the beginning, they started in the Department of Palestine, inside the Brotherhood in Jordan. The political office of Hamas was related in the organization with the Brotherhood in Jordan, but in 2008, there was like separation between Hamas and the Brotherhood of Jordan. Hamas became like an independent organization in Palestine and separated from the Brotherhood in Jordan. But still, Hamas has a very strong role inside the Brotherhood of Jordan. Why? Because the popularity of Hamas, the financial power of Hamas, and Hamas still look to Jordan as a very important place to recruitment, to propaganda, to have, because the Jordanian Palestinians representing that half of the population in Jordan.
So there are still some Hamas low-level officials in Jordan right now?
Official representation of Hamas is no longer in Jordan, but they come here and go back to Qatar or Turkey in the social level, not in the political level. And they have still a relationship with the GID officers that they are coordinating with them their movement toward Jordan and outside Jordan. And if there are some questions or something, some issues, they discuss together.
So Jordan doesn't at all mediate between Israel and Hamas during various conflicts like Egypt does?
No, at all. Jordan thinks that it's still the role of Egypt. They don't want to seem like that they have a competition with Egypt in this role. So that this is one of the reasons that Jordan still prefer that not to establish a relationship with Hamas, which this position opposed by another intellectuals. They think that Jordan has to establish a relationship with Hamas.
Well, that's all for today. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you.
That was former Jordanian Minister Dr. Mohammed Abu Rahman. Here's what else happened in recent weeks. On June 1st, Crown Prince Hussein married Rajwa Al-Saif of Saudi Arabia in a lavish Amman ceremony. Dignitaries from around the world attended, including First Lady Jill Biden, British Prince William, and Iraqi President Abdul Latif Rashid. While Jordan News reported that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was expected to attend the festivities, there was no public sighting of bin Salman, despite Hussein marrying a Saudi woman. The 28-year-old Jordanian royal tied the knot at the same Zahran Palace where his father, King Abdullah, married Queen Rania in 1993. Amir Sabaila, a Jordanian political analyst and former guest on the podcast, told AP, "It's not just a marriage. It's a presentation of the future king of Jordan. The issue of the crown prince has been closed." One Jordanian not invited to the wedding was Hussein's uncle, Prince Hamza, who remains under house arrest for his reported involvement in the 2021 sedition affair. June 1st was declared a public holiday in Jordan, and tens of thousands attended free concerts to celebrate the wedding. In other news, the Jordanian military announced on June 16th that it shot down a drone carrying weapons from Syria into the kingdom's territory. 3 days earlier, Jordanian security forces downed a drone carrying drugs from Syria. The border violence comes only weeks after Amman enthusiastically pushed for the Assad regime to be readmitted into the Arab League, and Jordan hosted Syria's foreign minister in Amman. Before I go, it would be great if you could please share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. Also, please listen to previous episodes on women's rights in Jordan with then-Canadian Ambassador Donna Kapati and the U.S.-Jordanian Alliance with journalist Taylor Luck. Finally, if you're interested in joining the podcast or have an idea for an episode, please reach out to me via Twitter @AaronMagid or by email aaron.magid1@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.